Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was my first movie that I ever went to, Star Wars. And I remember that scene so well, where Luke and Leia and Han and Chewbacca, the Wookiee, they all find themselves in the trash compactor. Remember that scene? And a couple of them were dressed up as stormtroopers, but they had their helmets off. And the walls were coming in and closing in, and it kept getting faster and faster. And it looked like certain doom, certain death for these newly acquainted heroes. Little did they know they'd just be beginning to embark on a great quest to save the galaxy from the dark side. But this trash compactor scene depicted the old adage, stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's a saying that describes those moments where it seems like there's no hope. And the funny thing is, the movie's called New Hope. It's one of those times where there's no place to turn that's safe. We find that in our Old Testament lesson for today. We find that's where Jacob is. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place, between two hard men who had no love for him. Who should have had love for him, though? He was stuck between Esau, his brother, and Laban, his father-in-law. Jacob had been here before, standing between these two men. There was Esau, his brother, whom Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing from his dying father Isaac. Jacob had also stolen Esau's birthright or his inheritance. So Esau, rightly so, wanted to kill Jacob for being a thief. Jacob had been here before, all alone in the wilderness when he had fled from Esau that first time. He didn't know if Esau was going to pursue after him. He didn't know if he was going to see his parents ever again, or if he would ever find work, or be able to start a family. He had no clue what his life was going to be like. And all he had was the clothes on his back, and a staff in his hand, and a cold rock for a pillow. Esau behind him, and little did Jacob know then who lay before him, his future father-in-law, Laban. Little did Jacob know how much trouble Laban would be for him. This deceiving Jacob would be deceived time and time again by Laban. Laban, his own blood, his mother's brother, would promise to give Rachel, his beloved daughter, to Jacob in marriage after working 7 years. But after Jacob worked 7 faithful years, Laban would pull the old switcheroo and sneak Leah in. Jacob would then end up with 2 sisters, 2 wives in marriage. That's how it worked back then. And there was a sibling rivalry. Not Jacob and Esau, but Rachel and Leah. It would cause great pain to the family. And 2 more ladies, their maidservants, would also be added to Jacob's wives. And there would be eventually 12 sons and a daughter. 20 years later, Jacob had had it. Laban had swindled him time and time again, accusing Jacob of stealing his flocks when Jacob hadn't. In fact, all the flocks that Laban owned were all because of Jacob's hard work. So God comes to Jacob in a dream and tells him, leave Laban, go back home. But back when Jacob stood between Esau and Laban the first time, with many unknowns and much worry about the future, back when Jacob laid his head on that cold rock in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, God appeared to Jacob. He appeared to Jacob, giving him this amazing vision of a stairway or a ladder to heaven. And with that vision came a promise. I am the God of your fathers, Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I will be with you. I will bring you back to this land, and I will give this land to your offspring. I promise. Now it's 20 years later, and here's Jacob again in the wilderness, standing between these two men, between a rock and a hard place, between Laban and Esau. This time, Laban is in the back, Esau is in the front. Jacob had just fled Laban, and Laban pursued after Jacob and his four wives, and at the time, 11 sons and daughter. And Laban had every intention that Esau had back 20 years ago. Laban wanted to kill this son-in-law of his, who stole his daughters and what he thought was his flocks and his grandchildren. God once again intervened on behalf of Jacob with a dream. This time not for Jacob, but for Laban. God in a dream told Laban, "You better not touch my Jacob." But when Jacob and Laban came face to face, it was quite an intense meeting. It was a wrestling match of words, to say the least. Jacob wins the wrestling match because God had already won it for him by threatening Laban. But now what lay ahead of Jacob was much more terrifying than the Laban that was behind him. Esau. Jacob hadn't seen Esau for 20 years. Last time Jacob had seen Esau, Esau was seeing red. That was the meaning of his name, red, because he actually was red when he came out of the womb. And Esau was seeing red, plotting for Jacob what Cain had plotted for Abel, murder. And now Jacob's servants report to him that Esau is heading his way with 400 men. And so Jacob makes arrangements for all his family to camp together on one side of the river Jabbok, while he goes to the other side to be alone. He needs to get his head straight. And there was Jacob alone at night, again in the wilderness, between a rock and a hard place, tired from what was behind him, wrestling with Laban, his deceitful father-in-law, and having to wrestle with what the consequences of what he did was 20 years ago, stealing all that he did from Esau. Thinking about what Esau is now going to do to him and his family. And not just Esau, but 400 men. He and his 11 young sons and young daughter and his four wives and minimal servants were no match for this army of 400. Jacob was alone. He was in the wilderness, tossing, turning, wrestling all night with his fate. And then God appeared again to Jacob. No ladder this time, no stairway to heaven. This time, it was an actual wrestling match. A wrestling match with a mysterious man with no name. Jacob asked him for his name, but he would not give it to him. And so Jacob wrestled with the man all night long, hard and long, all night long, just until the dawn was about to break. And then suddenly, the match ended swiftly. This man, this mysterious man from heaven, blesses Jacob, gives him a new name, Israel. He says, "You will be named Israel because you have striven or wrestled with both God and man and have prevailed." And then he makes a move that seems mean. He makes a move and deals an injury-causing blow to Jacob's hip. He will limp for the rest of his life. Jacob then sees the sun come up over the east and realizes this was no anonymous man. It was God himself in the flesh, wrestling with him all night long. And so Jacob names the place Peniel, which means the face of God. "Because I have seen the face of God, and I only got it limp in my hip. I didn't die," Jacob thinks. Hurting from the injury, but strengthened now in faith because he just saw God face to face and wrestled with God, Jacob gets up and limps on ahead of his family, ahead of his wives, ahead of his young children, ahead of the servants, and goes on to meet Esau face to face. Esau sees his brother, and an amazing scene happens. No death threats, no spears, no arrows, no javelins, no swords. He sees Jacob, and he does the most unexpected. He runs up to his brother, who stole everything from him, and he hugs him, and he weeps bitterly, and there is great reconciliation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes in life, we too find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. It might feel like we're in a trash compactor and the walls are closing in and there's nothing but garbage all around, and we want to know how this scene's going to end. Will it end in a good way? Because of the choices we have made that were not God's choices for our lives, but because they were the choices of our sinful nature, or simply because we live in a fallen world, which falls down on us quite often. It seeks to swindle us and leave us for dead. Sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness, all alone, and we wish we could get a vision of a stairway to heaven, a ladder to heaven. We wish God would maybe send a scary dream to our adversary, to our boss or coworker or the bully at school, and say, "You better not touch your name in the blank." Sometimes we're in the wilderness all alone, and we're paralyzed with fear with what lay ahead. And we wish God would just come and wrestle with us and even deal us a limping blow to our hip, because even that would be better than not knowing what's laying ahead. Even that would be better, because then at least we know God does exist and He cares. Bad news. I can't promise you such visions or dreams or wrestling matches with God. Good news. I can promise you much better. Because this same God for Jacob was faithful to Jacob. And because He was faithful to Jacob, many years later, this same God sent His Son, the very promised Son of Jacob, into our flesh so that we could see Him face to face, just as Jacob did. Jesus came into our flesh so we could see God's glory face to face, so we could see God Himself face to face. And this Jesus came to bless the sons of Jacob, and much more than the sons of Jacob. Jesus came to bless all people of all nations with the blessing He gave to Jacob in that wrestling match near that river of Jabbok. He came to bless us, you and me, face to face with a new name. Not Israel this time, but rather His name. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We began our service with it. And with this name comes promises so glorious, promises that Jacob received. With this name comes the promise, "I love you. I am with you always. And I do care about your future." Jesus came face to face onto this earth to heal the sick, face to face. In our gospel lesson, which we've been reading the past 3 weeks, He came face to face with 5,000 plus people and fed them face to face with hardly anything, even though He knew they would turn away and reject Him. He came face to face with dead people, and He raised them back to life so they could see their loved ones again face to face. He would remove the rock and the hard place from our life, our sin and our death. Jesus came and stared the devil down face to face with a perfect life. Our enemy of sin, Jesus stared down face to face from the cross with the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And "It is finished," so that you and I would know without a doubt that what He spoke to Jacob face to face, He speaks to you face to face. Jesus went into death face to face, and He rolled the great rock of the tomb away. He appeared to hundreds of people at one time, face to face, resurrected and alive. He even ate fish and bread with them so that they would know face to face that our last enemy is vanquished. It's gone. Death has no power over us. He did this so you would know today for certain that what He promised Jacob, He promises you. A mysterious wrestler from heaven? No. A vision of a stairway to heaven? No. You don't need either, because you have someone much greater. Jesus is your stairway to heaven. Jesus is the same mysterious man who wrestled at night with Jacob. And you don't have to wrestle with Him. He's wrestled with everything you need to wrestle with. In Jesus, you have seen God face to face. And so whatever lay behind you, you know it's forgiven. And whatever lay in front of you, you know it's already conquered. And so these words from Revelation are yours today. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. In Jesus' name,